In Parashat Emor, we encounter the story of the blasphemer. The son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the Israelites. And the Israelite woman's son and an Israelite man fought in the camp. The Israelite woman's sons pronounced the name of God and cursed, and they brought him to Moshe. His mother's name was Shlomit, daughter of Divri, of the tribe of Dan. God spoke to Moshe, saying, "Take the blasphemer outside the camp, and let all who were within hearing lean their hands upon his head, and let the whole community stone him." This blasphemer undermines, degrades, and treats with levity the very foundation of the religious system, the root of faith, and the bedrock of the world. Yet various midrashim in their characteristic fashion are not satisfied with a dry, factual account. They ask one simple question, even simplistic. The opening verses of the story describe, "And he went out, and he cursed." Midrash Vayikra Rabbah wonders, from where did he emerge? This question reflects the midrashic understanding that sin does not occur in a vacuum. Every action has a context, and every outburst has a narrative surrounding it. In Vayikra Rabbah, three different answers are offered to the question, from where did he emerge? These answers suggest various ways for us to understand the blasphemer, to understand the nature of a transgression in general, and to reflect on our own responsibility towards sinners and those who stray within our community. Answer number one, leaving the world. Rabbi Levi said he went out from his world, just as it is said, and a champion went out. Rabbi Levi draws a parallel between the blasphemer and Goliath, who is depicted in the biblical verses as a Philistine warrior who curses God. The curse represents a total, threatening, and degrading assault on the foundational faith of society. Rabbi Levi understands the going out as an indicator of grave consequences the act of cursing holds. For one who commits such a transgression, the future is curtailed. It is even possible that no future remains for them at all, neither in this world nor in the world to come. This offers a profound insight into the destructive power of the curse and perhaps of transgression in general. While the curse aims to wound its target, it effectively hollows out the curser themselves, stripping them of life in its fullest sense. Sin in this light is oblivion. Answer number two, leaving the previous verses. Rabbi Bilchia said he went out from the preceding section. He said, "It is written, 'And you shall take choice flour and bake it.' Is it the way of a king to eat fresh, warm bread, or perhaps cold bread?" Rabbi Bilchia's starting point is the Torah text itself. He suggests that the going out described in the verses refers to a departure from the immediately preceding passage, which discusses the showbread, lechem apanim. This bread was baked on Friday, but remained on the table for a full week, only to be eaten by the priests 9 days later. The blasphemer mocks this commandment, ridiculing the ritual and questioning the way the system honors God as an act of desecration. What king, he asks, would ever eat cold, old bread? His disdain for this specific religious practice, the arrangement of the showbread, rapidly devolves into contempt for the source of authority. According to Rabbi Bilchia, this illustrates how devaluing a seemingly minor detail of religious life can trigger a total moral and spiritual collapse. Answer number three, leaving from genealogy. Rabbi Chia taught he went out from the section dealing with genealogy. For he came to pitch his tent in the camp of Dan. But they said to him, "What right do you have to pitch your tent in the camp of Dan?" He replied, "I am descended from the daughters of Dan." They told him, "It is written, the Israelites shall camp each household with its standard under the banner of their father's house, and not their mother's house." He entered the courts of Moshe and emerged with an unfavorable ruling. Then he stood up and blasphemed. This midrash offers a jarring explanation for the blasphemer's going out. It was an act of expulsion. The blasphemer is a man caught in a housing identity crisis. He seeks to belong to a tribe, to the tribe of Dan, his mother's tribe, yet the law dictates that tribal identity is determined solely by the father. As the son of an Egyptian man, he is left without an inheritance, without a banner, without a place to call home. In his distress, he turns to the legal system, to Moshe himself, but the answer he receives is devastating. He emerged liable. He is told that he does not belong, and he has no place, camp, or tribe. The Midrashic narrative portrays his outburst as the direct result of his judicial rejection. He stood up and blasphemed. The Midrash invites us to view the blasphemer not as someone who is simply malicious, but as an individual pushed to the brink by structural injustice. His curse is not merely a religious provocation. It is the desperate cry of someone the community has cast out. This midrash forces us to confront difficult questions. Are there situations where strict adherence to the law produces invisible and rejected people? Are we as a society responsible for the curse uttered by those who have no place to pitch their tents? Ultimately, the Midrash highlights a grave danger. When a religious community acts in a way that fosters injustice, the inevitable result is the profanation of God's name, Chilul Hashem. And there's one more answer we should turn to, leaving from Egypt. The Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Leviticus Rabbah, goes further, uncovering a narrative of profound trauma at the very core of the blasphemer's existence. And he was the son of an Egyptian man. Once, an Egyptian taskmaster approached an Israelite officer and said to him, "Go and gather your work group." As soon as the officer, the husband, left his wife to fulfill the task, the Egyptian entered and violated his wife. The taskmaster then beat the husband all that day, intending to kill him. At that moment, the Holy Spirit shone upon Moshe. As it is written, he turned this way and that. What is this way and that? It means he saw what the Egyptian had done to the man in the house and what he was doing to him in the field. Moshe said, "Is it not enough that he violated his wife, but now he seeks to kill him as well?" Immediately he saw that there was no man. And so on. The biblical text notes that the blasphemer was the son of an Egyptian man. The Midrash identifies this man as the very taskmaster who beat the Hebrew slave in Egypt, the same man Moshe killed. According to this tradition, the blasphemer was conceived through the rape of Shlomit Bat Divri of the tribe of Dan, after the taskmaster tricked her husband into leaving the home. The blasphemer, therefore, is the living embodiment of violence, exploitation, and oppression. He carries the physical and psychological scars of the Egyptian bondage within his very identity. When we connect this midrash to the previous one, a tragic picture emerges. The blasphemer goes out to seek a place for himself, first within the tribe of Dan, his mother's family, and then in the court of Moshe. When he goes out to blaspheme, he is voicing an entire history of injustice that has never been recognized or repaired. the physical and mental torture of the Egyptian exile, the plight of those without legal status or protection, and the violence of rape and the conspiracy of silence that often surrounds it. According to the Midrash, this very Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah, the story of the blasphemer teaches us a profound lesson regarding crime and punishment, the nature of transgression, our collective social responsibility, and the efficacy of punishment in general, and the death penalty in particular. When we examine the sinners around us, or even our own personal failures, the Midrash calls us to look beyond the mere label of the sin. We are challenged to ask, from where did this act go out? What is its context? Only then can we identify and truly understand the meaning of the sin, as well as where the responsibility for its consequences truly lie. The blasphemer is punished. The Torah does not waive his personal accountability. Yet through the lens of the Midrash, the Torah also places a burden of responsibility upon us to examine the narrative, to recognize the underlying injustice, and to remember that behind the blasphemer may stand a person who searched for a place within his own community and found none. Shabbat Shalom.